Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Get that going here. And oh, hello there, everyone. Didn't realize we had the meeting started here. Sorry, we've been so busy here at TCEA putting together our virtual elementary technology conference that's coming up June 14th through 16th, aka if you're hearing this episode when it's new, in just a few days. So you'll have to forgive me, I've been running around through different virtual meetings, but that might be a little helpful for this week's meeting of the EdTech Club, because we're going to talk about virtual meetings and specifically our virtual elementary technology conference. We're going to give you a little preview of the kinds of big ideas you can expect and the kinds of tips and tricks you might expect, all the while thinking pretty critically about the kinds of things we can be doing to enhance learning at a distance, whether it's our own personal professional learning or it's the learning we deliver to students this summer and in the fall. So, despite my earlier distraction, I'm really glad you're here. This week's guest speaker is Charlotte Dolat. She's a former member of the TCEA Board of Directors and instructional coach in San Antonio, Texas, and she'll be presenting at the Elementary Technology Conference. So she's going to give you a little preview of what you can expect, and we're going to cover a wide range in this conversation. Oh, and don't forget, there's still time for you to register and get access to our on-demand content from the Elementary Technology Conference. You can be a part of it, even if you miss the live event. So don't forget to check out elementary.tcea.org and get involved. But of course, with that said, I will get you to the preview of all the excitement in store. It's happening in this meeting of the EdTech Club, and it all starts right now. Hey everyone, welcome back and thanks for joining me. I'm Andrew Rausch. And as I said, this week's guest speaker is Charlotte Dolat, a presenter at the upcoming Elementary Technology Conference. She's going to talk us through what we can expect from her sessions and some of the big ideas she's intrigued to hear about.
Hi, I'm Charlotte Dolat. I'm entering into my 29th year in education. I've been a third grade teacher, fourth grade, fifth grade teacher. I've been an instructional technology specialist and now an instructional coach in Alma Heights ISD. I was the Area 20 TCA director, absolutely loved being part of that, and then had the honor of being the 2020 TCA convention chair.
Excellent. Well, we're happy to have you with us. And you'll have to excuse, our studio moved, so it is a combination bird watching site and construction site at the moment.
Oh, I love it.
If there's any background noise, it's too distracting.
Love it.
So one of the reasons we wanted to chat with you is because you will be presenting at our Elementary Technology Conference, June 14th through 16th. And this is a conference that TCEA hosts for elementary educators in the summer, traditionally in Galveston. This year, we made the change to an all virtual event. So I guess I wanted to get a sense of, from your perspective, what it's been like in that transition. And of course, you are a presenter at the conference. So I'd like to have you talk to us about what you're excited to present and what gets you excited about this format as well. Perhaps there are new things we can do that actually improve the experience virtually.
Absolutely. So I'm actually presenting with another instructional coach. Her name is Selena Valdez. And we've been working on our presentations. We'd kind of gotten things started prior to the switch. I mean, we anticipated there might be. But, you know, when you have that interaction with the audience and you might be giving away prizes in some way or just anything in particular, like you kind of have to switch gears a little bit and think about how do you push out information where you're not really going to have some face-to-face interaction, hopefully in a chat. But I think we've done a good job. I think we've added some pieces in there that have a lot to do with pedagogy and not just pushing out, you know, different websites or apps of that nature, but really being more in depth and intentional about designing work for students. I have always loved going to Galveston. I think I think back to like, why was I not going earlier on? It's such an amazing conference. It's so laid back. The presenters are wonderful. And even just now with the feature presenters that we have for this time around, I'm just excited. I'm excited to see what they're going to have. Selena and I both have been attending other virtual conferences so that we could get a feel for, like, what skills do we need in order to present? Because again, this is kind of uncharted territory for us as well. We just finished doing our on-demand session, and that was hilarious. I had, you know, like, you don't know what your setup's going to look like, and you're not exactly sure. Like, I've done Zooms before, and I had moved my coffee table over. I had a stepladder set up. I had my ring light on it. It's projecting to me. I used my TV as my place for our script, and so that we could follow along, and I could click. Like, it was a big production. Kind of fun. Mm-hmm. But now we're ready for live.
Yeah. And so I imagine, too, that a lot of these questions that get brought up in orchestrating professional education at a time like this are probably also questions being brought up in your day-to-day approach to education right now.
Without a doubt. So we are actually looking at professional development for our district on, we call ours continuous learning, because the learning did not stop. And so with our continuous learning, we're looking at what are some things that really went well during this portion when we were doing the virtual learning. Some things that we realized, and our teachers actually quickly realized, is that it's really hard to have 30 students, especially at the secondary level, all on one Google Meet. And so they quickly transitioned to small group instruction. And so they would schedule times for groups of students to meet with the teacher and then have the offline types of things that they were having students do. And now looking back at, we took a survey, and now we're looking to see where are some places where we can kind of ramp it up a little bit if we are going to go back to a continuous learning environment that's virtual.
Thinking specifically about ETC, what are you going to be presenting? What's top of mind? What's the stuff you're trying to share?
So the one we just did on iPads, Confetti of the Classroom, we're really talking about, and actually all three sessions, to be completely honest, are about students sharing their learning, you know, kind of like developing those four essential skills of listening, speaking, reading, and writing, and how we can incorporate all of those in, designing work, and then the right tool for that task in particular. So we have, with the iPads and confetti, we're going to make the connection to the four C's. So creativity, collaboration, communication, and critical thinking. But then we're throwing in that fifth C, which is the confetti, which is celebrating all the work that students have designed. So that's one. The other one is podcasting, all that and a bag of chips. So important. Like, there's so many podcasts that are out there now, but it's really about sharing your stories through your voice. Like thinking about word choice, intonation, how can you convey meaning and emotion through your voice? When that's all your participants can really feel and be part of. And so being intentional about your wording, the whole piece with research behind it as well. So it really pulls in a lot of skills, but also being an intentional listener. So when I'm listening to podcasts, what is it that I'm looking for? What am I hoping to take away? What have I noticed that they've done within their podcast that I found really exciting that kept my attention? And then our last one is digital science journaling. And so there's a really great app that has the capability to take in pictures, add information. It even has sensors on it. So we're going to talk about how to use that. So that's really kind of a small piece of it. But we're also going to look at the 5E model for science and the different sites and web apps that will interface with the 5E model. So breaking it down into engage. What are some ways to engage your students, whether it's through virtual tours or taking them through a digital breakout? So we've got a lot of things that go within each portion of the 5E model. So lots going on. We've got a lot of fun.
And one of the things that makes this event unique is that it is focused on the elementary grades. So when we think about educational technology and how it gets used at that, you know, pre-K through 6 level, What's the focus? Like, how might some of these sessions have a slightly different focus than the ones we'd see at TCEA's annual convention, for example?
I like that the fact that it really, I think, hones in on students being creators. And I know there's a lot within that. Another piece is that, like, kind of looking at screen time. I know that there's always a big discussion about screen time, especially at the elementary level. And so how this is kind of dispelling that we're not just putting kids in front of a, or our young students in front of a device, but they're really being constructive consumers. And Selena and I talk about that actually in our iPad session, about being a constructive consumer versus just taking information in, like playing games, but then also turning around and showing what they know.
And so when we think about, like, the tools we use for those grades, are they different than the tools you might use at a secondary level, or is it more about the approach to using the tools?
I think it's a little bit of both. There are a lot of tools. I am actually a high school instructional coach, and there are a lot of tools that I share in these sessions that I share with our high school teachers too. But then there are some that I feel like just don't quite do the job and are a little too simplified, which are great for our younger students. So there is a blend. And some apps, let's be honest, like, they just don't have that cool look factor for a high school student versus an elementary student who would like the little cartoon figures and whatnot. So there is a mix, a little bit of a mix.
And when we think about an event like this too, especially now that it's virtual, it's maybe a little bit easier even to attend, so to speak. I guess to you, you've formerly chaired our annual convention. Belated congrats on that, by the way.
Why, thank you.
So from your perspective in that regard, what makes an event, even if it's virtual, valuable versus, say, just going out and finding the information on your own? I mean, we live in a very connected world. There's a lot of freely available info out there. Is there something different about a real-time and an on-demand event that you can access that involves others?
I think part of it is that even though you're not physically in that same location together, you have a face and you have, you know, the personality of that presenter. You can see that on demand. You can go back and access it anytime that you want to. It just feels like there's a little bit more of a personal piece to it. Versus, like, I go and Google stuff all the time, but this has, again, it's just watching and sharing with other teachers and seeing what they're doing within their districts. I think that's the whole piece that I really like.
Yeah. And being able to connect more directly, you know, I think there's a sense, a lot of times when you go to look something up, you'll have a question and then you have to kind of look for the answer to that question to see if it's been asked or something like that. But with an event, you can kind of make direct contact. You can ask questions directly. You can get quick answers. You might find surprising or detailed answers that aren't outlined somewhere else.
And I think there's a little more specificity, or I think if I said that correctly, to when someone's presenting in this capacity. Again, you know, like, I might go a little bit more in depth. I can read a blog, but maybe I might elaborate more if I'm doing on demand or the live sessions too.
Mm-hmm. And you might be presented with a question you know the answer to, but didn't think to include or something like that.
True. Very true. And having other educators push your thinking too as they're asking those questions, like you mentioned.
Now, part of the story here is that this event has transitioned to completely virtual. Have you been surprised or delighted by any of the changes that come with that? Or what are the opportunities that get seized when we are, you know, more or less forced to do a virtual event?
I can speak to what I've seen, like, within our district and with the teachers that I work with, especially, is that they were ready from the get-go to learn as much as they could to make the learning still engaging and relevant for our students in whatever capacity that was. I offer professional development. I would be there once a week for them, just open up a Google Meet and let them come in and just ask questions or clarify things or what could be different. So that really I saw them reaching out for more assistance to make things more engaging and relevant for their students.
If I'm an educator right now and I feel a little cut off or a little tense or a little unsure, I might recognize that there are both challenges and opportunities right now in the way education is changing and might change for good. But what's your thought on how teachers are feeling? I mean, are they excited to jump into these challenges? Is it wearing on folks? What kind of support might we need? What are you seeing?
So I love the, there was a podcast by Cult of Pedagogy. We just listened to it. Actually, there's several of us on a committee. And the importance of that, we don't know exactly how our teachers are feeling, but we do know that there needs to be a little bit of a grieving process. Like, we may not open up the way that we started our school year last year, and it may be different. And we've got to be able to figure out what's going to work best for us and for our district, and acknowledging that, and then just supporting in any way that we can. We don't know what the beginning of the school year looks like. We're just trying to figure out what our summer school is going to look like, or our summer intercession is what we're calling it. And so just being there to support teachers. I think also, especially within our district, our teachers are eager to learn more. So I know that they're already going out there and attending different virtual conferences, or listening to podcasts or blogs, reading blogs. So I know there's that piece also. But just anticipating this is a loss, like closing up, ending the way that we did. But acknowledging that, and then seeing how we go forward and support the teachers and making the best beginning of a school year we can under the circumstances.
Educators are approaching their jobs in a learner-centered way. Part of that includes understanding the social emotional needs of students and encouraging social emotional learning. Since we're sort of in an in-between phase, do you have a sense of how teachers are supporting each other, supporting students and parents as much as they can, when quite honestly, it's pretty difficult to do?
So I think right now, at least in our district, like the last day was what, probably a week ago. I think everybody is just disconnecting from any type of device in general.
Yeah, taking a big deep breath can be helpful.
Yep, and I think they're just going to take a little bit of a break for now. I think that's healthy, and to just kind of separate themselves. We've got a lot of things in place for our parents and our families, whether it's through our counselors or our administration, to help students with that transition. Even like, how do we provide equitable access for students and pushing out devices if they need them? So all those pieces will still stay in place to support the families, to support our teachers as well. But I think everybody's just right now taking, at least in our district, taking a deep breath and just regrouping and finding things that make them joy to them. And so just kind of stepping away so that they can come back fresh and regroup for the beginning of what the school year looks like.
Thinking of starting fresh, thinking of regrouping, I might be feeling a little ragged, and I might look at something like a virtual conference thinking that almost feels like a lot of work right now. Can an event like this be part of that, sort of unwinding, relaxing, recharging process?
I think it is. Like, it is for me especially. And I've, sent information out to our teachers, and especially at our elementary level, for, this specific conference, just so that they can have it at their leisure. And so when they want to take a little bit of time to go and watch a session, they can. Again, it's kind of at their will when they're ready, when they feel like they're ready to take it on and be able to be part of it. Again, we have such amazing educators in our district that they are always eager to learn. So they really are. Like, I had a teacher just a little while ago reach out to me and say, what sessions are you offering? What other things are available? So they're eager, even just that, with the downtime portion as well.
Yeah. And I guess one of the major changes this year, one of the big benefits I would think, is having CPE credit on demand. You can watch these sessions for up to a month. So, I think that probably helps give folks as much time or close to as much time as they might need to get their eyes and their head wrapped around the sessions they care about without having to run around between breakout rooms or try to catch half pieces of sessions.
Right. And so like it just is, it becomes part of that. Again, when I am ready to go back in, jump in and see and do some more learning. And when I have a quiet house where I can step away and do some more learning for myself. I mean, because I love the fact that, like we said, you know, we're doing continuous learning for our students, but it's also for our teachers as well. As we move into this, as we keep saying, this unprecedented time, like our teachers need to learn and see how to make things, again, engaging and relevant for our students to keep them online or however that might look as we move forward.
Okay, the bell is about to ring, so I will get us through our housekeeping here at the end of the meeting. First, check out the links in the description to this episode. That'll connect you with our Elementary Technology Conference, and if you really want to be a go-getter and claim that extra credit, be a part of the conference. And don't forget to let us know what ideas you liked, what you thought was interesting, and what you might like to hear on a future episode of the EdTech Club. You can reach us at podcast@tcea.org. As usual, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, and recommend this show to your friends, neighbors, well-wishers, or strangers on the internet. And speaking of strangers on the internet, they're not all strangers because you've got a friend. You've got TCEA. Just look for us on all your favorite social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and more. So that's it for this meeting of the EdTech Club. I'm about to jump into another meeting, and I bet you have one coming up too, so I won't hold you anymore. That's it. Thanks very much, folks. And of course, join us next week for another meeting of the EdTech Club. Until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being a part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.